To conclude this subject of worry and regrets, let me give the remark of one who claimed to be an old friend of someone present: let the light shine in your souls, and you will see the beauty of all the beauties which are round about you. We all make mistakes, but our mistakes purify us sometimes, at least they purify our outlook. I hope I am not intruding by putting my thoughts before you. That their thoughts produce their clothes seems evident from what we were once told by an Aetherian. This power, which mind has over matter in Aetheria, is difficult for us to grasp. They tell us that they have the power to mold etheric matter as they think. Consequently, their houses are the products of their minds. As they think, they construct. This was clearly told me on more than one occasion. So, when we are told what follows about their clothes, it may be difficult to understand, but it all fits in with what they have said to us at different times about their production and constructive methods. We have the same mind in Aetheria as we have on Earth, or, to be more exact, we are the same mind there as here, and, when we think what our mind does here, we can believe it is possible for it to have even more extensive power in the other world. Before our conscious mind took control, our subconscious mind had fashioned tubes for conducting our blood, a pump we call the heart, to pump our blood continuously through our arteries and veins every day for some 68 years of the average civilized individual's lifetime. Before the conscious mind of man had discovered how to make metal pumps, tubes, levers, etc., the subconscious mind had directed their construction in flesh and bones in the human body. So what is it not capable of doing in a world of finer matter where its control is so much greater? I try to liken the human mind to a tree. We see and sense its leaves and branches, which can be compared to the conscious mind. The unconscious mind can be compared to its roots, the unseen life-giving part of the tree, from which comes its form and vitality. What is visible appeals to us, but not the invisible, and so with our mind, the conscious part being like the visible tree but the unconscious very real mind like the vital roots which nourish the tree. After death the subconscious mind of Earth seems to become more prominent, to rise and give visible expression such as it does not do on Earth. It is here, in the subconscious, that the power of the mind lies, and, when its potency is released, to become more visible after death, much will be possible for us to do that we cannot do on Earth. This is what we were once told by an Aetherian at the close of a long talk. I have progressed since then, and now I am able to return to the surroundings of Earth life and be clothed in apparel like what I used to wear. The clothes change. I cannot tell you how. But, as we draw near the physical, the clothes change, there is no doubt about it. Perhaps I have not put it very clearly to you. But, when I draw near to the Earth plane, I find myself standing in the surroundings where I used to stand, with similar garments to those I used to wear in Earth life, and the robes I wear on the other side of life, the Summerland side, change, imperceptibly to me, when I cross the border through the mist. Of course, there are others who can come, more advanced than I am, and they always come in their spirit robes. I wish you could see them, they are very beautiful. Their minds have not only supernormal power over substance, but they also seem to have the power of transferring thoughts from mind to mind without the use of speech. They do use the spoken word just as we do, but they have a telepathic gift which is very rare and exceptional on Earth. This is what I was once told in answer to a question I asked about the different languages spoken in Aetheria. There are the various Earth languages spoken here, such as English, French and German. But they are conveyed from mind to mind mentally. Communication takes place mentally from one to another, not only by the spoken word as on Earth. This is just as if I were to say that the mind of the spirit gets into telepathic touch with the mind with which he is communicating. A lady present asked her mother in Aetheria if she had met Aunt Agnes, to be told no, but I have spoken to her, just as you would talk to someone on the phone. It is not the same. But that is the only way I can describe it. When I get the condition, I am able to speak to her. She is on beyond me. You will get many surprises at what happens here. A man in Aetheria who said he was not far advanced, in fact, that he was rather backward, confirmed this telepathic form of communication which all understand, no matter what was their earth language, because the pictures formed in one mind are conveyed to the one with which it is in communication. This is what he said: "I do not want to go very far on my way until I get the members of my own family with me. Meantime, I understand that once we pass beyond these spheres in which I have been for a very long time, we shall at once acquire the knowledge of a language which everyone knows. This greater freedom of expression, their greater ease of travel, their immense mental power over matter, may be the reason for the greater harmony which there prevails." This remark was once made in the course of a long conversation between the sitters and an active friend and helper on the other side. "There will be no unification of the peoples of the world until they all reach this plane of life, where no enmity, no jealousy or hatred to anyone can intervene. That is what I meant by unification, and then all will be well for all. But, until that time, be up and doing, by prayerful thoughts and kindly deeds, to help to bring comfort and cheer to the lonely ones." When reading the next chapter, it will be evident that they are generally delighted to get into contact once more with friends on earth. In spite of the difficulties they experience in communicating with us, they face it with a will and determination because, as we were once told by one of our friends, that it is a great satisfaction to us to know that the little thoughts, which we have managed to give of our knowledge of life here, are acceptable to you. Thank you very much. You will find when you come to my side that there was so much you could have done in earth life if you had just opened your heart. I am not speaking to you personally, you know, at all. I am just voicing the thoughts which are in my soul from my own experience. So let us now proceed with another phase of this all-embracing subject. Chapter 11, Their Contact with U.S. The evidence we received of the interest and affection which Aetherians have for us on Earth did not come from a series of questions and answers, but by the remarks they made from time to time, often in the course of conversation. When these are all brought together, it is evident that in many cases their memories of Earth life are as vivid as they were when they lived on Earth, and that their interest in their friends, and affection for their relations still on Earth, is as strong as it ever was. Besides the remarks they made, the tone of their voices conveyed, as much as their words, their pleasure in being able to speak to us on Earth. To be able to tell us of the fact that they still live and love, that they are happy and eagerly awaiting the time when their relations will join them, gave them intense pleasure. So let us read their varied remarks on their contact with us, which is the subject of this chapter. A young man who had met a tragic death once spoke to a friend amongst the sitters. After giving his name, he said these words in the course of a general conversation: "It is so delightful to be beside you. It is not every day I get a chance of sending a message. I am thinking about my beloved friend, Mary Stope. God bless her for her friendship to me. It is all fresh to me when I come back and look at you all. I have passed the way by which all come. You are filing past the milestones, my friends, ladies and gentlemen. I went over before I had passed many milestones. I have come to such a wonderful country, and I have got such wonderful work to do." A lady present once heard her sister's voice. First of all, the sister gave her name, and then said this in reply to the hope expressed that she is now happy after all her earth's sorrows: "My earth sorrows are as nothing to me now. I am glad to be away from it all. I am so happy here. I love you, darling, and will do all I can to help you and keep you company, for you are lonely sometimes. And now I am going to help you, dear, all I can. Isn't it fine that we can speak to each other, and that you got to know about this?" A mother in Aetheria once told her daughter this, in reply to a question as to whether or not she was happy in her new life: "I just wish you were half so well and happy as I am. All my worry is to see you worried and nobody with you. I would not come back, darling, but I am so glad to come and talk to you. I would rather stay here, and get everything very nice for your homecoming." Those who spoke to us often referred to their happiness, but this is sometimes tempered with sadness for the friends and relations they have left behind, if they are unhappy and lonely. Happiness in Aetheria is also affected by the general misery on Earth caused by strife and suffering. As one of them once expressed it during the Second World War, "You know, sweet lady, there are so many in trouble today on your side of life. I tread the path of your earth way at times and my heart is sad. I know you are wondering at me saying my heart is sad, but I take on the feelings of sadness, distress and sorrow which are around, and I just wish I could lift them all away. I just wish all on the earth plane could get into harmony with divine love and leave their cares and sorrows behind them. Another Aetherian once put it this way: I wonder myself when I look back on those whom I loved and still love who are coming through such trying times, Second World War, and I cannot do anything but pray that you may be assisted and supported through it all, though I know you will be compensated for it all. There are very few today who have not their own particular worry or care. I think you know what I mean, just that little care and heartache that you can tell to no one but yourself and your spirit friends. And I, although I have not exactly earned the right to call you my friends, am eager and willing to help you in every way I can. I know there are others over me who are ready to help you. During a long conversation with a lady present, an Aetherian, who claimed acquaintance with her son in Aetheria, once spoke as follows: I have traversed a great many spaces since coming to this side of life, and I thank the Great Spirit God for allowing me to have that great joy and privilege. I have now been appointed to operate on your earth plane for some considerable time, trying to alleviate the sadness and take away the sorrows of those who are on the earth plane needing help. I try to help those who are grieving for dear ones through this war, and impress upon them that there are myriads of souls who come to alleviate the suffering of those who are passing through a war to this side of life. They do so by taking the consciousness away. I will stand aside now, ladies and gentlemen, for a little while, but with your permission I may come in again later if I get the opportunity. Another amplified the foregoing at another seance in these words: we are not sad, quite the reverse. It is only when we see and feel the unhappiness of others on contacting your plane that we take on a kindred feeling. You would not be human if you did not feel sad and sorrowful for others at times. We would not be brothers and sisters to each other if we did not get this mutual sorrow. And this applies not only to your friends, but to all those ministering angels who watch over you. They have kindred feelings with you, and enter into all your sorrows and all your joys, and try to help you at all times. A lady present on another occasion heard this said at the close of a short talk she had with one who had been in love with her when he was on earth: "It is so nice to see you. So nice to hear you say we will meet again. There are no jealousies here. We all love one another and help each other both here and on your plane, and I will help you all I can." A recently widowed lady once received this message about her husband: "He is happy and cheerful and wants you to try and be happy too. There are many friends here who were interested in you, and they want you to know that though they do not speak to you, they are close, and will all be looking after you." Once, after a hymn had been sung to relieve any tenseness amongst the sitters, there came clearly the name and voice of a woman, a friend of most of the sitters, who had passed on some months previously. "Oh, do sing it again, my darlings. I love to hear you sing and I love to join in these hymns. It brings back the old days when I was in the body." Undoubtedly their coming to these seances brought back their earth memories. A friend in Aetheria once said this to a lady: "I can see you all. I can see you just as you are sitting in that chair, and apparel just as I have clothes in earth life. I see your hair has a beautiful curl and you have a nice complexion." A son, who often came back and spoke to his mother, a regular sitter, once said these words. He has been previously referred to as a teacher in one of their universities: "My mother, we are both beside you, sweet mother, father and I. I have stood in silence listening to the beautiful heartfelt words that Indian friend spoke just now, and I felt my heart rejoice that my labors on this side have been of some use because he is one of my pupils. Oh, that I could draw the curtain aside and portray the beautiful picture to you of what is to come. We are not able to do so. There are certain things you are not allowed to know until you join us here. It is an amazing time we are living in, dear friends, just now. Mother dear, I'm just looking at you." The father in Aetheria of a lady present had once a talk with his daughter, which concluded with these words: "Mother and I hope you will have a very happy time for the remainder of your earth career, and we will be standing at the gateway awaiting you when God's good time comes. God bless you, my beloved lassie." You have had a checkered life lately, we know. I mean ups and downs. And you are missing us very much now, me and mother. You took great care of mother, and now I have her here to take care of, and I think you will understand, my dear, when I say that I think I understand her even better than you. When a mother present asked her son in Etheria if he had been with her when she had been from home, he replied, "And so I was, mother dear, and I am with you now. I am with you many times when you don't know it, when you are not thinking about me. I know that you think about me often, but often, when you are not, I am beside you, helping you out of your difficulties, because you have difficulties, sometimes, dear, and you wonder often how things have smoothed out as they do." At the end of a long conversation between a mother in Etheria and her daughter who was present at the séance, the mother remarked, "I would just surprise you if you could see me standing beside you." A schoolmaster present was once told this in a conversation with a lady in Etheria, at whose house, when she was on earth, he had séances in the Ayrshire village of West Kilbride. "It is such a wee world when you come to think about it. Here I am on the other side of life, in the new world, and yet I can come, just by thought, practically instantly to see you as I used to see you in the old days at West Kilbride." During a conversation that a boy in Etheria was having with his mother, he addressed all present in these words, which make clear the pleasure it is to our friends on the other side to come again in contact with those they love on earth. "It is such a joy to me, friends, to speak to my mother like this. When I found I could do so, it was a great joy to me, and I have tried to help others to get the joy of speaking to those they love on the earth plane. It makes me very happy to talk to you and try to help you." This is what was told to a lady present by her mother in Etheria. After giving her name and referring to her daughter by name, she went on, "It is mother speaking, and it is just like yesterday since you were a wee prattling thing running about my feet. God bless you, my dear. You are toddling down the hill now." The words which follow greatly comforted a widow who was present. They were spoken to her by her husband. If other widows could be as sure as she is that their husbands are awaiting them, how much needless sorrow and mourning would cease on earth. "Norman is speaking to you. My dear, how do you do? I am away at the other side of the room so that I can amplify my voice a little better for you. It is not tuned in yet as I would like it to be. The love which is in our souls, my dear, is still burning strong, and, as your days run past, I am watching you. God bless you. I will never be properly happy until we shake hands and clasp each other when God's good time comes. In the interval I will guard you to the best of my ability, as far as the spirit friends who guide me here allow me to do so. Marriage on earth can either be happy, fairly happy, or unhappy. Marriage, as we understand it on earth, does not exist in Etheria, but those who love each other come together again when both reach the other side. The fairly happily married people generally remain friends, and the unhappily married see little or nothing of each other. The happily married here have been fortunate in each finding a mate on earth, but those less fortunate will sometime find a partner in Etheria to their liking, if there is harmony between them and they are congenial to each other. This briefly is what I have been told from the other side, and it seems reasonable, natural, and what we might expect from the knowledge we have of the way they live. A gentleman, who was a regular sitter, had many talks with his wife on the other side. Once, after assuring her of his constant affection for her, she replied, "I know, Don. We are twin souls in many things. You know what I mean, and the great mystery of life is I had to leave you sooner than I would have liked. You have been so brave, Donald, and you have been so good to your charges left in your care. There have been some little things that have worried you, but I am always helping you, Donald. Good day. At the end of the road, my dear, when the good spirit God will call you home, Mary will be waiting there." All kinds of men, women, and children of the other world visited the Sloane Circle over a period of about 40 years, and many hundreds of earth visitors were welcomed by the regular sitters. These visitors received ample evidence that those they thought of as dead were really alive and, though now unseen, loved them as they did when they lived on earth. Thousands of evidential messages were given which proved the identity of those who spoke, but most of them are lost because they were never put in writing. It is from those seances that were recorded that the extracts given in this book are taken, but I have omitted all references to evidence of identity, and mentioned personal names as seldom as possible. This book is of an educational nature, and is confined to what they tell us about the world in which they live and their life there. Evidence of identity was always freely given, and this will be found in some of my other books. What the pages of this book contain are of interest to everyone, whereas evidence of identity can only completely convince the individual who receives it. All the speakers, whose words are here recorded, fully satisfied their friends on earth by the intimate things they said, that they were none other than the personality ties they claimed to be. So I think that what else they said, besides the proofs they gave of their identity, can also be accepted. On the other hand, if we reject the personalities behind the voices which spoke, how are we to account for them, and all they told us? Behind a voice must be a body to vibrate our atmosphere, and behind the body a brain which is controlled by an individual mind. Everything recorded is too immense to be the product of a human fraud, intent on deceiving his fellow creatures. Everything is too consistent, too patently genuine, and too impossible for the ordinary intelligence to imagine as planned deceit and fraud. Sloane was tested in every possible way, and he was not the only direct voice medium in the world. There are, and have been, many others, and these conversations between the two worlds, both evidential and informative, have been going on for the past 100 years in many parts of the globe. They have been taking place wherever there was someone who could supply the people on the other side with ectoplasm to enable them to materialize their vocal organs. It is unfortunate that only a comparatively few of these seances have been recorded, to be handed down to future generations. Throughout all these records there is a consistency in everything said, the same descriptions of etheria, the same way of life reported, the same assertion that it is how we live that is important, and not what creeds we believe. This is so uniform, and yet so contrary to the orthodox religious teaching accepted by the majority of mankind, that its consistency cannot be the product of earth minds widely separated throughout the world. Moreover, what they tell us contradicts the materialistic orthodox teaching of death and the resurrection. In fact, the views they express so revolutionize orthodox religious thought throughout the world, that theologians and ecclesiastics have nothing better to put forward than that the devil is behind it all, for the purpose of creating more and more unbelievers in the generally accepted religion. After this digression, we shall now return to our conversations, and relate what was said to a hospital nurse by a doctor friend in Etheria. After telling the nurse that he had been with her at an operation that day at a certain hospital which he correctly named, he went on to say how much pleasure it gave him to help earth doctors and nurses to heal the sick and suffering. To this effort, he said, he gave much of his time and, after receiving the nurse's thanks, he replied to her, and then spoke to all present in the circle, "Mine is the pleasure, Miss Duff. It is so nice, friends, to know and realize when you come to this side of life, if you have not realized it previously, that you can still be in touch with what interested you in earth life, by getting into contact with, and speaking to, those whom you knew before, letting them know that life on earth is not the end of your journey. It is just the beginning of that perfect day which you find when you come to my side. May God bless, comfort, and cheer you in these troublous times. May He cheer those who weary and wait for loved ones they will never see again in the physical, many of them without your knowledge of the bright future awaiting them. It is up to you who know and understand, who have the light, to pass it on to others." An Etherian once spoke to a lady present. She asked who was speaking, and he replied, "You do not know me. I know your son, Mr. Arthur Lang, very well, not in earth life, you know, but after coming over. I had been over for many years before Mr. Lang, but I got to know him here and I do like him very well. Can you tell us something about yourself?" she then asked, to which he replied, "I may stay and look on. I like to hear others speaking, those that are on my side, as well as those on your side. I love to hear your voices talking to each other. I was not an educated man in earth life, what you would call an educated man, but I have learned a great deal since coming over here. I hope you will understand if I put it in my own phraseology and say, there are many different spheres, many different stages of existence on the spirit side of life. On another occasion, someone on the other side showed the same interest in what was going on at the seance. I am just a stranger. I saw the lights. They attracted me, and I came in to see if I could be of any little service to any one of you, dear friends. I would rejoice if my own dear ones knew that it was possible for me to contact them and speak to them, but they know nothing of this. I speak to them sometimes, but they do not hear me. How wonderful it is that you hear me. May God the Father lead you to the light that will keep the door still open for you to pursue this truth right along your way of life until the journey ends. Do your level best to keep a clean record and you will have a joyful entrance into spirit life when your time comes. After an interesting discourse, which has been recorded in a previous chapter, an Aetherian finished his conversation with a gentleman present with these words, "And now, my friend, I must go. I have been trying to explain in my humble way what I felt in my own soul in the spirit side of life, and the progress from one stage to another. It is not all known in a day. It is a slow process, and those of us who work near the earth plane, I do not know just how to put it to you, I do not mean to say that we deteriorate in any way, but we have rather given up of our own accord our advancement for a little while, that we may help our weaker brothers, as we ourselves have been helped in the past. We do not stay near the earth plane, but we come and work in it. I think that none of you present would regret a little time given to help a backward brother or sister into a higher level of life. I must go. I am called now by an emissary of one of the Shining Ones, into a higher level of life. A regular helper on the other side, who spoke clearly and often, sometimes at great length, made the following observations in the course of a long talk. I would like to make a pathway clear for you ladies and gentlemen, to tread the devious paths of life, which just now is a very difficult matter. It comes hard to the human heart. I am speaking more like one of yourselves today. I am trying hard to enter into your sorrows and your joys, and to assist the friends you love who may be passing just a little ahead of you on the road of life. I try to bear you up in the arms of love, to bear you up beyond the shadow to the substance where I live, and where, someday you will be co-partners in the labor of love. At another time a Red Indian, who often came to help newcomers to speak, expressed the same sentiments in these words: I have tried both in earth life and spirit life to bring joy and cheer to both sides. You know what I mean, to comfort and soothe the sorrowful ones. The blessing of the Indian chief goes with you all. It was natural that those whose minds retained memories of their earth life, and who had friends still on earth, would be the ones who took the most trouble to come and speak to us. They live on the plains within closest touch of the earth. Nevertheless, things take place on earth which escape their notice, as happened with this lady when her daughter on earth asked her if she had met a friend recently passed over. "Oh, darling, I did not know he was here. Do take my love to them. Be sure and say it came from this side. It has just been veiled from me for a little while, but I will try and get in touch with him now that I know." On another occasion their limitations were expressed in these words: anything done by friends in the earth life who have erred, if it would hurt those who love them who have gone before, a veil is thrown across, that they do not know about it. If it is conducive to their happiness this veil will be thrown, and they will not be permitted in the surroundings if it is going to make them sad and hamper their progress on this side of life. Another Aetherian who was standing by took up the theme in these words: had I lived a better life in the material I would not have been so sad when I first came over here. That was a beautiful illustration of a veil being drawn so that dear ones on this side do not always know what is going on among their friends on earth. It is only the grosser things that are hidden from them. I hope you will understand. I am a very plain fellow and I am only putting my own thoughts through, which I have gathered from experience, and which I know to a great extent to be true on this side. With a slight pause he continued his talk. We only know to a limited extent what is going on the earth plane. Those in the high planes, the ministering angels and the shining ones, do, however, know all, and shade certain things off that would spoil the happiness of those on this side. Certainly this veiling off helps you in the earth life, in your case with regard to the future. If you had known beforehand the trials you would have to come through, Second World War, you would not have had the strength to go on. It is better that a veil should also be drawn on the material side of life.